A personal faith in Christ, our greatest need. Ye shall be witnesses unto me. Acts 1, verse 8. These words of Jesus have lost none of their force. Our Savior calls for faithful witnesses in these days of religious formalism. But how few, even among the professed ambassadors for Christ, are ready to give a faithful, personal testimony for their Master? Many can tell what the great and good men of generations past have done, and dared, and suffered, and enjoyed. They become eloquent in setting forth the power of the gospel, which has enabled others to rejoice in trying conflicts and to stand firm against fierce temptations. But while so earnest in bringing forward other Christians as witnesses for Jesus, they seem to have no fresh, timely experience of their own to relate. Ministers of Christ, what have you to say for yourselves? What soul conflicts have you entered that have been for your good, for the good of souls, and for the glory of God? You who profess to be proclaiming the last solemn message to the world, what is your experience in the knowledge of the truth and its effect upon your own hearts? Does your character testify for Christ? Can you speak of the refining, ennobling, sanctifying influence of the truth as it is in Jesus? What have you seen, and what have you known of the power of Christ? This is the kind of witness for which the Lord calls, and for which the churches are suffering. M.S. The thought that the righteousness of Christ is imputed to us, not because of any merit on our part, but as a free gift from God, is a precious thought. The enemy of God and man is not willing that this truth should be clearly presented, for he knows that if the people receive it fully, his power will be broken. If he can control minds so that doubt and unbelief and darkness shall compose the experience of those who claim to be the children of God, he can overcome them with temptation. That simple faith that takes God at his word should be encouraged. God's people must have that faith which will lay hold of divine power. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Ephesians 2, verse 8. Those who believe that God for Christ's sake has forgiven their sins should not, through temptation, fail to press on to fight the good fight of faith. Their faith should grow stronger until their Christian life, as well as their words, shall declare, "The blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin." If we would have the spirit and power of the third angel's message, we must present the law and the gospel together, for they go hand in hand. As a power from beneath is stirring up the children of disobedience to make void the law of God, and to trample upon the faith of Christ as our righteousness, a power from above is moving upon the hearts of those who are loyal to exalt the law, and to lift up Jesus as a complete Savior. Unless divine power is brought into the experience of the people of God, false theories and erroneous ideas will take minds captive. Christ and his righteousness will be dropped out of the experience of many, and their faith will be without power or life. Such will not have a daily, living experience of the love of God in the heart, and if they do not zealously repent, they will be among those who are represented by the Laodiceans, who will be spewed out of the mouth of God. The Lord can do little for his people because of their limited faith. The ministers have not presented Christ in his fullness to the people, either in the churches or in new fields, and the people have not an intelligent faith. They have not been instructed as they should have been, that Christ is unto them salvation and righteousness. It is Satan's studied purpose to keep souls from believing in Christ as their only hope. For the blood of Christ that cleanseth from all sin is efficacious in behalf of those only who believe in its merit, and who present it before the Father, as did Abel in his offering. The offering of Cain was an offense to God, because it was a Christless offering. The burden of our message is not only the commandments of God, but the faith of Jesus. A bright light shines upon our pathway today, and it leads to increased faith in Jesus. We must receive every ray of light and walk in it, that it may not be our condemnation in the judgment. Our duties and obligations become more important as we obtain more distinct views of truth. Light makes manifest and reproves the errors that were concealed in darkness. And as light comes, the life and character of men must change correspondingly to be in harmony with it. Sins that were once sins of ignorance because of the blindness of the mind can no more be indulged in without incurring guilt. As increased light is given, men must be reformed, elevated, and refined by it, or they will be more perverse and stubborn than before the light came. M.S. In every church, there is need of the simplicity of living, abiding faith. The people are starving for the bread of life. The teachers of the Word need the unction from the Holy One. Because they are not united to Christ by faith, their spiritual perceptions are not acute to discern the working of the Spirit of God. Earthliness, carnality, marks the experience of many, making them bodies of darkness rather than of light. Hence there are jealousies, envyings, and divisions. Many are trying to patch up an old experience instead of turning to Christ in penitence and faith. There are some of this class who have an understanding of the theory of the truth and desire to labor for others, but their efforts will be in vain, for their own souls are not aglow with the love of Jesus. Without a living faith in Christ as a personal Savior, it is impossible to make our influence felt in a skeptical world. If you would draw sinners out of the swift-running current, your own feet must not stand on slippery places. He who has his own heart imbued with the love of Jesus can feed the flock of God. He has a living experience and can say with the Apostle John, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you." 1 John 1, verse 1-3. M.S.